This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Devastation in Alabama. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, March 4. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
More than 20 people have been killed after a large tornado struck Lee County, Alabama, part of a storm system that threatened much of the southeast yesterday.
Stocks in Asia shot higher today on word that the U.S. and China are finalizing a trade deal.
The new chair of the House Judiciary Committee says he'll be requesting dozens of documents about the Trump administration. Meanwhile, a look at the collateral damage from the Mueller investigation.
And there are two looming threats to the job market, even though it's currently about as good as it gets.
The people that often are the ones that are left behind. Think about people that don't have high school degrees, people who have criminal records, people that have been stuck in low-wage jobs for a long time. They're finally getting opportunities over the past year or so to move up, to get bigger raises, or to just get back into the job market.
Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Morath on what the booming job market, though, may be hiding. At least 23 people have been killed and many more injured when a tornado tore through Lee County, Alabama, in the southeast part of the state. Sheriff Jay Jones told the Associated Press that it's possible the death toll could continue to rise once search efforts resume today. The community of Beauregard reportedly took the brunt of the damage about 60 miles east of the capital of Montgomery.
Sucked the clouds in and everything, and heavy wind and everything. And then we ran inside, and after that, it was just a lot of debris flying, and we just watched it out the window.
The tornado, which hit around 2 p.m. yesterday, wrecked an area several miles long and anywhere between a quarter mile and a half mile wide. Bubba Copeland is mayor of nearby Smith Station.
It just took pine trees and cut them in half. Telephone poles, cut them in half. At the school, it took a 12-ton air conditioner, picked it up and threw it 40 feet.
The Weather Channel reported that roughly 40,000 customers were without power in Alabama and Georgia. Numerous tornado warnings were posted across the southeast yesterday. To Washington now, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler says he'll be submitting dozens of document requests today, part of a promise by congressional Democrats to tightly oversee the Trump administration. Mr. Nadler from New York called it the opening salvo in new and wide-ranging investigations.
We will be issuing document requests to over 60 different people and individuals from the White House to the Department of Justice, Donald Trump Jr., Alan Weisselberg.
His comments on ABC's This Week indicate Democrats may no longer be counting on special counsel Robert Mueller's report on possible Russia collusion. When asked by host George Stephanopoulos if he'd accept a possible report finding nothing illegal by the Trump campaign with Russia, Mr. Nadler suggested he would not accept it. In response on the same program, by the way, House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy said that Mr. Nadler, quote, had decided to impeach the president the day the president won the election. Special Counsel Robert Mueller began investigating the 2016 presidential election nearly 2 years ago. Along the way, he has found plenty of wrongdoing. Mr. Mueller has filed more than 100 public charges against 34 individuals and three companies, but he also has left a lot of collateral damage in his wake. Jeff Murdoch at the Washington Times says people who have never been charged have endured endless harassment, crippling legal bills, and collapsing businesses. Jeff, what do we have?
What we have is, I talked to witnesses in the Russia investigation, and that's very important that these people are witnesses. They're not under any threat of being charged. They're not targets of the investigation. They're not subjects of the investigation. They're just witnesses. And what they've outlined to me is just terrifying. They've been subject to endless death threats. They've been subject to mounting legal bills. Businesses have collapsed because people are threatening their clients. they're just trapped in a nightmare, and they're not even these people are not even the central players in Robert Mueller's Russia investigation.
Let's go through a couple of these names. Give me like a thumbnail of who this person is, and then what's been happening. Carter Page.
Well, Carter Page was a advisor on the Trump campaign. He's an expert in Russia. He's also somebody who showed up in the dossier that was paid for by the DNC, compiled by Christopher Steele. He has never been charged with anything. There's never been any evidence linking him to Russia outside of trips that he's made, which is part of it for his gas and oil business. That being said, he has just, since his name has appeared, and he's appeared before House and Senate in investigations, he has gotten death threats. His oil and gas business has collapsed. His legal bills are just mounting. He has been getting steady calls from this number in Oklahoma, and he's asked the FBI repeatedly to look into it, and they keep blowing him off.
Goodness gracious. Michael Caputo.
Michael Caputo is probably one of the hardest hit. Since he was a communications consultant who worked on the Trump campaign, he has been harassed. He has had his daughters threatened. One of the worst threats, somebody told him that they hope Jeffrey Epstein rapes his two daughters. Horrible. They have told him that, people have threatened to urinate on his head, threatened to kill him. It's been terrible. And they've also harassed his clients. He runs a PR business. And because of the harassment, his business has probably lost 50% of its revenue. He's laid off half his staff. They've closed an office. It's just a nightmare. One of the quotes he gave me in the story is his legal costs from all these meetings with Mueller and House panels, probably run about $200,000, but the lost opportunity cost to his business and his reputation, he estimates to be three times that.
We're speaking with Jeff Murdoch, Justice Department reporter at The Washington Times. He's written a piece about the collateral damage that's been caused by the special counsel's probe. Speaking of Mr. Caputo, you referenced that California Congresswoman Jackie Speier had I guess, refer to him as an image consultant to Putin, and he says that has caused a lot of problems, and she doesn't care, does she?
No, she doesn't. That was one of the most interesting things that I uncovered in this article. During a hearing, she referred to him as Vladimir Putin's image consultant. That's really what spurred the threats against Michael Caputo. And, you know, he has pointed out that he has written several op-eds. I mean, he sent me an op-ed he wrote just a few years ago in the Washington Post about criticizing Putin. He is a top Putin critic, but she called him Putin's image consultant. That has spurred all kinds of death threats. I asked Ms. Speier about it, and her response was stunning. Her response about the death threats caused by her comment, I might add, was, "Welcome to the crowd. We get death threats all the time. Do you want me to show you the list of death threats I have?"
Who put the high-tech security system in the home with the shotguns like available at the ready?
Oh, Michael Caputo did that, and he's so afraid of his family's safety. I mean, here are some of the steps he's taken. He's cut down his travel. He's installed a high-tech security system in both his home and his office with shotguns that are installed in wall safes. So all he has to do is touch a button, and he can grab the shotgun. He's now started carrying a handgun. He's reduced his travel by 90%, and he has formed a group of friends. He calls it a quick reaction force, and they're friends that at a moment's notice he can text them and get 50 people to his house in less than 10 minutes if there's a problem, like, for example, with what happened at Tucker Carlson's home a couple of months ago.
Nice, Jeff. That's Jeff Murdoch at The Washington Times. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
It's no secret around here. I like things my way. My way keeps our customers happy. My way keeps us on budget. My way keeps this place running. And my way means ordering from Grainger. They've got what we need when we need it. With simplified checkout, dedicated customer reps, and knowledgeable product experts, I can order online, on the phone, or at a branch the way I like it. My way. When it comes to effortless ordering, Grainger's got your back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. China and the U.S. are in the final stage of completing a trade deal, according to the Wall Street Journal. A report says Beijing is offering to lower tariffs and other restrictions on American farm, chemical, auto, and other products. And Washington is considering removing most, if not all, sanctions levied against Chinese products since last year. More now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Journal says China is pledging to help level the playing field, including speeding up the timetable for removing foreign ownership limitations on car ventures and reducing tariffs on imported vehicles. Beijing would also step up purchases of U.S. goods. One of the sweeteners would be an $18 billion natural gas purchase. The two sides continue to negotiate over issues involving Chinese policy that the U.S. argues gives Chinese domestic firms an advantage, especially state-owned enterprises. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Last week, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said the provisions involving protecting intellectual property total nearly 30 pages out of a working document of more than 100. U.S. and Chinese negotiators are also working on setting up a mechanism through which complaints by U.S. companies could be addressed. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a tornado roared into southeast Alabama and killed at least 23 people and injured dozens of others, part of a severe storm system that caused catastrophic damage and unleashed other tornadoes around the southeast. Fred Copeland is the mayor of Smith Station, Alabama.
We had to cut our way in with chainsaws and tractors to get to these people and make sure everyone was okay. We had some elderly people that were trapped in their houses through the debris, but it's words cannot describe it. Trailer homes turned upside down. Damage is unbelievable.
Drones flying overhead equipped with heat-seeking devices scanned the area for survivors, but the dangerous conditions halted the search late last night. Declaring it's very clear President Trump obstructed justice, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee says the panel will request documents today from more than 60 people from Trump's administration, family, and business as part of a rapidly expanding Russia investigation. New York Congressman Jerry Nadler told ABC the committee wants to review documents from the Justice Department, Donald Trump Jr. and Trump Organization Chief Financial Officer Alan Weisselberg.
What we learned from the Cohen testimony was that he directly implicated the president in various crimes, both while seeking the office of president and while in the White House.
Former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly and former White House counsel Don McGahn are also likely targets. Opponents of President Trump's declaration of a national emergency at the border appear to have enough Senate votes to reject his move. Now that Republican Rand Paul of Kentucky has said he can't go along with the White House, three other Republican senators have announced they'll vote no: Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and Tom Tillis of North Carolina. A new generation SpaceX capsule has autonomously docked with the International Space Station in a successful test deemed essential to carry U.S. astronauts on future missions. NASA astronaut Anne McCain says this is a sign of things to come.
Our sincere congratulations to all Earthlings who have enabled the opening of this next chapter in space exploration.
The initial demonstration flight of the Crew Dragon spacecraft, which blasted off from Florida a day earlier without people on board, is intended to show that SpaceX's latest craft will be safe enough to start regular crew runs to the orbiting lab, possibly later this year.
Wow. Get in line. Save your money. We're going.
No, thanks.
23 minutes after the hour. On this morning, America's First News. Emergencies are expensive. A new report by GoBankingRates.com calculates how much different emergencies might actually cost the average American. Perhaps not surprisingly, most of them cost far more than we've got saved. Here's Katie Hill at MarketWatch. Katie, what are these emergencies?
Job loss, that's nearly $30,000, and that's based on 6 months of income if you wanted to just replace your income completely. So, and you think of this like this, you probably want to have that saved in case this happens to you. Hurricane, tornado, it's going to be a little over $7,000. Flood is nearly $27,000, and that's because a lot of homeowners insurance policies don't cover flood. So usually when I'm giving you these averages, it's because, you know, it's what you're going to pay out of pocket, your homeowners encourages it. But that calculation was made assuming you didn't have flood coverage, because a lot of just the basic policies don't have it unless you add that too. So that's something to think about. Earthquake, about $4,500. A medical emergency, $1,300. And fire, expensive here too, about $12,600. So you're seeing big numbers for these common emergencies. These were calculated by GoBanking rates, and they're looking at out-of-pocket charges. So if after insurance kicks in, what you're still going to pay out-of-pocket.
The flood, to me, is one of the scariest because that number is so high.
Yeah.
And it's often, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, like homeowners don't realize that their insurance policy doesn't cover it until it's too late.
100%. So I really tried to highlight that in the story. It's like, you don't know that. You have this homeowners policy, you're like, oh, it'll be fine. A lot of times there is just an exception for flood, and you need to know that. And you can usually get a different, I don't know about usually, but often you can get an additional rider that could cover it, do something like that. But just note that your standard policy may not cover it.
We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch. She's written a piece about the cost of 8 different emergencies that could trip us up in any given year, like job loss or a flood, fire, car accident, health emergency, things like that. So I know that the typical advice here is, well, you got to save. But I mean, come on. Like 401k, right? We got to maximize our savings there. We got to set aside money for college education, and there's got to be room for this too. What do we do? We skip eating for a month?
And I hear you, because that's exactly, people just think, oh my gosh, this is too much. I'm never going to make it. I mean, just start small. Do what you can. You do have insurance to help with these things, right? You should know, what your insurance policies cover, what your deductible is. Like, know all of those things. But again, this common advice. Some people say, oh, you just need 3 months of income socked away in your emergency fund. That should cover all this stuff. The experts I was talking to said in an ideal world, you would have a full year worth of your expenses in an emergency fund. Again, I know that's not possible for most people. Start small, put something away, don't freak out about it. But this old advice of 3 months, probably you should up that if you can.
Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Getting fit and staying healthy always sounds easier said than done, right? OpenFit is bringing you something new that makes it even easier to never miss a sweat session. OpenFit takes all of the complexity out of losing weight and getting fit. It's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room in as little as 10 minutes a day. View on your computer. Watch it on web-enabled TV, a tablet, smartphone, and Roku. You can join me on a fitness journey personalized just for you. Use my code Gordon and start using OpenFit for your journey to a healthier life. Right now, during the OpenFit 30-Day Challenge, our listeners get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit, where you can lose up to 15 pounds in 30 days when you text the word Gordon to 303030. You get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts and nutrition information totally free. Again, just text Gordon to 303030.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. And welcome into Monday, March 4. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. More than 20 people killed by a tornado in southeast Alabama. U.S. and China said to be close to a trade deal. Known as Seattle's second airport, flights begin today from a new terminal at Payne Field in Everett, Washington. Teachers in Oakland return to classrooms today after approving a new contract. ESPN says the Jaguars will sign free agent quarterback Nick Foles, and one man's key food source while surviving 5 days stuck in his truck off-road in Oregon snow. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, the job market, as you've probably heard, does not get much better than this. Workers are so scarce that in many parts of the country, low-skilled jobs are being handed out to pretty much anyone willing to take them. And high-skilled workers are in even shorter supply. All sorts of people who previously had trouble landing a job are now finding work. Racial minorities, those with less education, and people working in the lowest-paying jobs are getting bigger pay raises and, in many cases, experiencing the lowest unemployment rate ever recorded for their groups. But there are gathering storm clouds. Here's Wall Street Journal economics reporter Eric Barath on his story. Eric, what's up here?
Yeah, I mean, who are seeing getting ahead when we have the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years and 100 straight months of job growth is the people that often are the ones that are left behind. Think about people that don't have high school degrees, people who have criminal records, people that have been stuck in low-wage jobs for a long time. They're finally getting opportunities over the past year or so to move up, to get bigger raises, or to just get back into the job market. So, they're the clearest winners here, alongside kind of a lot of the folks that you'd expect, people that are working in tech hubs, people that are in high-skilled industries, people with master's degrees. Those folks are still generally doing well, but they always do well. The difference is the folks that sometimes are at the bottom are getting a little bit of a lift up.
All right, you referenced this one young woman from Mississippi as the face of this red-hot job market. How come?
Yeah, well, she checks so many boxes of what we're seeing going on here. She's a young woman. We're seeing more women under the age of 35 getting into the workforce in larger numbers. That's been a big turnaround that's helped support job growth in a way that wasn't really expected. She's working in manufacturing, which is notable because that's an area where, for decades, basically, the U.S. had been losing manufacturing employment, and over the last several years, it's actually turned around, and there's job growth there. And then the other thing is it's notable. I mean, she's in Mississippi. That's a state that, kind of like I was discussing before, where generally it's not been the best economy. Well, the unemployment rate in Mississippi has been below 5% since the end of 2017. That's still high compared to some other states, but it's the lowest rate Mississippi's ever seen, and it's held there for over a year, which just shows you that, employers have to say, hey, let's reach out to this woman that's working a near minimum wage job. Let's train her up to be a welder, and we'll pay her the $20 an hour, that you earn in that job.
So before we get to the looming concerns that you reference here, do say there are still fault lines, like scarce jobs in rural areas. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah. So, not everywhere is equal. Rural areas are a place, with unemployment rates just kind of a half percentage point higher than everywhere else. It's kind of a combination of, a lot of employers, and we've seen this, people, relocating their headquarters from kind of a more rural city to, Chicago or New York. And, just a lot of jobs have moved out of the rural areas. And that's because there's not a lot of people there to look for the jobs. But those that are still there, they're finding that they might be stuck at working at a retail store, a warehouse or something like that, and not really, a job that has a career ladder.
We're speaking with Eric Marath, Wall Street Journal economics reporter. He's written a piece entitled Inside the Hottest Job Market in Half a Century. All right, so let's turn to the concerning news here and these looming threats you referenced.
Yeah, well, it's great that a lot of people that have struggled in the past are finally getting ahead. The question is, are they going to be able to stay ahead? Oftentimes, those that have the lowest level of skills are the first to be let go when a recession hits. So, there's growing concerns among economists we talk to that, in the next year or so, the economy might slow down dramatically. And if that happens, will some of these folks that have finally just got back in the labor market, be the first out the door? And the other thing is, this really strong job market might be masking a longer-term trend, and that's, automation, technology, artificial intelligence coming. Employers haven't maybe deployed that in fields outside of manufacturing in a major way, but that's coming. A lot of the economists we talk to and futurists we talk to say that's coming, and when the next downturn happens, that could be exactly the moment where they say, hey, we got to invest in this cost-saving technology. Now kind of everyone's fat and happy, and they're happy to hand out these raises in the way they haven't in a decade.
Thanks, Eric. It's Wall Street Journal economics reporter Eric Marath. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. It's 20 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories he'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you want to win a contest to fly free for a year, you would expect you might have to take some drastic measures. For some, deleting all of their Instagram photos might be a step too far, but it could net you a sweet reward. JetBlue has launched its All-You-Can-Jet sweepstakes. The contest runs through Friday and requires entrants to delete all of their prior posts on Instagram before uploading a photo, using a template from JetBlue and tagging the company. Aside from the entry photo, which requires users to fill in a blank, all you can blank, entrants must not post any other photos to their Instagram account through the end of the day on Friday. The company joined in on the contest by deleting their prior post from their Instagram account. So far, entrants have weighed in with phrases such as all you can help, all you can achieve, and all you can beach in their respective bids to win free flights for a year.
That's a pretty cool contest.
Yeah. This will be easy for me. I mean, I'm not a big Instagram user. I only have like 10 photos, I think, up on there. So I could easily do this, but I don't exactly know what I would upload. I mean, the most obvious ones for me be like all you can sleep, you know, all you can eat, of course.
Like
you and I could both do that.
Sure.
But I don't know if those are created enough to win free flights for a year. I think you got to come up with something good.
Right, right. All you could chicken chow mein, that would be mine for sure.
Sure.
Playing off your food theme, that'd be awesome.
Yes, yes, yeah. You know, all you can salt bagel with, you know, egg and cheese, whatever it is you get on there. Yeah.
Oh, my mouth is watering, Mike. I agree. Instagram would be simple. I think Facebook would be trickier, not because I care about Facebook, but only because I have photos on there.
Yeah.
That I'd like to save, I think. It becomes like a default saving mechanism sometimes.
Yeah, that's the reason I think half of us still have Facebook is because now that's where we put all of our pictures,
right?
And then people tag us in pictures of like our kids and stuff
right?
So we don't want to lose that stuff.
Right.
We're also too lazy to download them or print them, so we just kind of keep them up on Facebook.
This seems more aimed at millennials, this challenge.
Yes, it seems who
care much more about Instagram.
Well, then you and I need to kind of like sneak in there is what we need to do. Or, I don't think there's an age restriction.
Oh, maybe.
So
steal it from the young folks.
Yeah, I like that. Take
that,
young people. And it seems, Gordon, we've all been cooped up inside a little too long this winter, and both sides of this story could probably blame that for their actions. A Wisconsin man's attempt to play a prank on his neighbors ended up devolving into a literal pandemonium last month after police were called to a neighborhood on a report of a suspicious animal. The Muskego Police Department told local TV that a resident contacted authorities to report a panda bear being spotted at the front door of a home. The caller, not surprisingly, thought it was suspicious since panda bears are not native to the Badger State. Officers responded to the home and made contact with the panda bear, who turned out to be a 48-year-old resident in a costume. The man said he had been asked to dog sit at a friend's house and thought dressing up would be a fun prank. The man said he knew his neighbors had surveillance cameras and wanted to prank them by donning the $125 panda suit. He said he's also picked up his daughter from school in the suit and greeted her at the school bus since pandas are her favorite animal. Police eventually made contact with the homeowners, who verified that the panda was indeed allowed at their home. And how about that? How about the daughter, you know, gets off the bus and dad is sitting there in a panda suit? I'm sure she really really appreciated that.
Well, it depends on her age.
I guess
it does.
Right. If she's younger, sure. I guess she was happy.
And then if you do like nutty stuff like this, like I do or used to do with my kids, they eventually become immune to it.
Right.
So it's
like,
it's Kendall's dad again. Yeah. Doing that thing.
That's great. Pay no attention.
This is funny. I would have liked to have heard the phone call in which police verified with the homeowners that it was okay for the panda to be there.
Yes.
That was funny.
Stand down.
13 minutes in front of the hour. Day one for a new employee. Instead of joining in productively, they face a confusing, disjointed process and piles of paper forms. With Kronos, you can automate the entire onboarding process, creating a better experience for employees and freeing you to focus on the human part of your job. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/onboarding. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Monday. For the more than 30 million taxpayers who may actually owe money to the IRS this year, using a credit card likely is not the best way to go. That's because of fees, which range from 1.87% to 1.99%, with a minimum fee of $2.50. Ted Rossman, industry analyst at creditcards.com, told MarketWatch that in most cases, those fees will wipe out the value of any rewards you would earn. And that's before taking into consideration how quickly interest can accrue if you carry over the balance. To be sure, cardholders could come out slightly ahead from a rewards perspective with certain cards. In particular, the Citi Double Cash Card offers 2% on all purchases, which would include tax payments, meaning that cardholders would at least break even when you consider the IRS card processing fee. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Word in, at least 23 people were killed by tornadoes that swept through parts of Alabama and Georgia. And the National Weather Service reported tornadoes across several counties yesterday afternoon. The most destructive appears to have been in Lee County, Alabama, where at least two tornadoes touched down. Smith Station, Alabama Mayor Fred Copeland.
Nobody knows what to do in a situation like this. The first thing we got to do as a city is get the Red Cross and the state of Alabama and EMA and EMS in here and help them assess the damage, find them a place to stay, make sure that they've got clothing and food, because literally their clothes were out in the chest of drawers were out in the street.
It's possible the death toll could rise. Dozens have been injured and sent to area hospitals. Meanwhile, portions of the East Coast are getting hit with a winter storm that's making the morning commute difficult. The National Weather Service forecasts between 4 and 12 inches of snow from Baltimore all the way through New England. China and the U.S. are in the final stage of completing a trade deal, with Beijing offering to lower tariffs and other restrictions on U.S. farm, chemical, auto, and other products, and Washington considering removing most, if not all, sanctions levied against Chinese products since last year. The talks have progressed to the extent that a formal agreement could be reached at a summit between President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping later this month. A second federal agency is now investigating the latest crash involving a Tesla electric car. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has dispatched a field team to Delray Beach, Florida, where a 50-year-old man died Friday. The Tesla drove beneath a semi-trailer that was crossing a Florida roadway. The National Transportation Safety Board was already investigating the crash. Both agencies will likely look into whether Tesla's autopilot semi-autonomous driving system was being used. And now Skechers is trolling Nike over Duke basketball player Zion Williamson's blown-out sneaker. After it happened, Puma gloated in a tweet that the blowout wouldn't have occurred in its shoes, but quickly deleted that tweet. This weekend, Skechers took it a step further. The sneaker company ran an ad in several newspapers with the phrase, "just blew it," in large type above a photo of shoes resembling Williamson's damaged pair. Beneath them was the Skechers logo with the promise, "we won't split on you."
Mm-hmm. You're kind of late to the game with this, Skechers. what now? I got that ad coming out now?
Yeah, it's a couple weeks later. I don't know. It took them a while to come up with it, I guess.
Newsflash for Skechers. College athletes are not wearing your sneakers. No worries. 6 minutes in front of the hour on this morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. An Oregon man may have a good argument for not cleaning out your car. The Huffington Post says Jeremy Taylor told authorities that he and his dog survived by eating packets of taco sauce as they were trapped by snow in his vehicle for 5 days. He goes off-roading in the area, says he drove up west of this resort community of Sun River with his dog Allie when the SUV got stuck in the snow last Sunday. The Deschutes County Sheriff's Office said he spent the night in his vehicle, attempted to walk for help on Monday, but couldn't because there was so much snow. Stayed warm over the next 4 days by periodically starting his vehicle, used a few taco sauce packets he had as food. In an earlier post on Facebook, they said he didn't think he had a phone with him. It wasn't until Friday afternoon that a snowmobile rider spotted his car and called 911. Asked by a friend on Facebook about those hot sauce packets he reported to police, Mr. Taylor responded, quote, "Taco Bell fire sauce saves lives." For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.